Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the council meeting, Roosevelt Council meeting of June 24th, 2019. It's 7:04 p.m. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 7th, 2019, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody? Absent. Mr. Esikoff?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mr. Vroman?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. Okay, I have a few things to discuss. Our cemetery, the contract with Doug Sutphin, who runs our cemetery, who manages our cemetery, was expiring after 3 years. So I met with him, and I felt that we were paying, that our fee was a little on the high side. We were paying $11,100 a year, which came out to $925 a month. And that's for maintenance of the, not mowing, not anything with the grass or trees, but maintenance of the headstones and preparing for a funeral, that type of thing. So Doug Sutphin was very gracious in that we negotiated a new fee. So we're going to pay $150 less per month, $1,800 less per year, and that will bring it to $9,300. And Doug doesn't think that this will really affect the maintenance or the appearance of the cemetery at all. If we find that it does, we have the option of renegotiating after a year. If we find that he's used up his allotment of money and there's still work to be done, so we can renegotiate. But for now, we will be paying $1,800 less each year. And I guess this is probably in Steve's report, or just put by the dead trees at the cemetery have been removed. Allen's tree went out there and removed all the dead trees. I think four dead trees.
There are four large,
very large
evergreens.
Yeah.
And so what's left there now is a small evergreen and a couple of little holly bushes. Mm-hmm. And we're talking to Steve Taylor to see what he would think about
it.
Yeah. Also, the post, one of the uprights holding the railing in is
leaning, yeah.
And two of the rails are down, so we have to look at that. Greg Pasile said he might be able to slip some plastic or other tubing over it and just stretch it in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know how deep those corner posts are, so otherwise we dig them out and move them.
So I have a question. I might have missed something. Who's responsible for the headstones?
Sutphin, his company.
Well, from vandalism or something,
yeah.
They'll take care of it.
Yeah.
The
maintenance of all the headstones. And
okay.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, believe it or not, clean them, and also they tend to sink, lean, tilt, bend. More than we realize.
Yeah, as much as the person underneath is moving.
I hope not. But because, the ground shifts, rain, all different reasons. So, so he maintains the, in other words, he rights them by adding soil and other means that I'm not quite sure of. But.
And also Ben Johnson is doing a documentary on Benjamin Brown.
I heard.
So we looked at the site there, which is going to do a shot there, and just dead trees all around.
Yeah.
It just didn't make sense.
I looked at the trees when I went up to visit the cemetery, visit my family, and I looked at the trees. They weren't very nice.
They're gone.
I just wanted to say one thing about Doug. He's very free with his time and his guidance. If you ever need to have a monument made up or a headstone. He spends a lot of time. He'll go over it with you. He's very patient. He's very giving. And
Does he take care of monuments, too? He has a monument business?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he will coordinate that for you.
Well, it's his company
you.
that that we contract out to maintain our monuments.
Okay, all right. Gotcha.
And he's very fond of Roosevelt. And
yeah. So he does a lot of work that you don't see behind the scenes and helping people, and he has a very good way about him, too.
Yeah, it seems as if almost everyone, every time there's a funeral, someone tells me they spoke to him directly.
To get a new monument to me?
Probably, or prepare, something with preparing the site.
I've seen some different ones there recently, so I suspect maybe he's involved in those.
He's involved in every one.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. I have a call into Sheriff Golden. He's the sheriff of Monmouth County.
I didn't do it.
Allegedly.
Just because we have, I think we've had a spike in calls recently. I'm sure it's just coincidence or timing, but I think everyone knows that there have been a few times where people have waited up to 45 minutes for an ambulance, either because our ambulance was already on a call or we don't have the, first aid doesn't have the manpower here. So I know that they, you know, I've gone to a couple of meetings where they were, it's in the works to have a countywide first aid system, but it's, you know, it hasn't materialized yet. So I wanted to call the sheriff to see how we were coming along. So they said he would get back to me this week. And because I know a lot of residents are upset that it's frequently taking quite a long time. And other people have had the first aid come immediately. You know, if our squad is here, they respond immediately. But if they're not, then people are waiting quite a long time. So hopefully, have you heard anything more about that from the sheriff's office?
There was something where he signed people up as the need became necessary, but I haven't heard that they were moving forward with a lot of that.
Yeah, me neither. So
if you ask me to bet, that's a really big change with a lot of different squads. Mm. Yeah. And the sheriff is up for re-election. Mm. If I were him, I wouldn't go ruffle everyone's feathers until maybe after November. That's my thought, because when we had the preliminary meeting and the guy was doing the preliminary work, it was kind of like a don't call us, we'll call you.
Exactly, but I did call.
If I was in the sheriff's shoes, that's what I would.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Well, hopefully, even if it's, you know, even if something starts moving after November, I'm good. Graduation was last Thursday. That was bittersweet because it was sort of a double graduation. We had sixth graders graduating, and then we had fifth graders, which they called moving on, because I think everyone knows we won't have a sixth grade next year. So the fifth graders are going to East Windsor, so it was sort of a double graduation. And Mary Robinson Cohen applied for emergency aid. She hasn't heard anything yet, but hopefully she will hear soon. They seemed very amenable to giving Roosevelt emergency aid so that we can continue for the time being before everything's straightened out.
This is the emergency aid that they talked to you about after you and Mike
They encouraged her to apply for it.
And which she did.
And that's a change from before, where they discouraged her from it.
Yeah, last year they didn't say anything about emergency aid. And I wanted to remind everyone that this Thursday is a party here for two reasons. We're having an open house so residents can see the new Borough Hall and how it looks. But mostly it's a farewell to Bill Counterman party. Since he retired from the post office, it's kind of a combined party. So we'll have a lot of refreshments and a cake for Bill. And I, well, not you, Joe, but everyone else.
I'll be in and out.
I strongly urge to come to the Borough Hall between 4 and 7 on Thursday. And finally, the 4th of July will occur before our next council meeting, so hopefully everyone will come to 4th of July, and if anyone wants to volunteer to grill hot dogs and hamburgers, it would be greatly appreciated.
And that'll be on the day of 4th of July?
Hope if it doesn't rain, yep. We haven't had that very many rain dates in all these years, so hopefully. Usually it's just boiling hot.
Yeah.
The hottest day of the year. Right, that's...
Eric, did you want to report on the emergency management meeting that we had, or is that going to be covered in a committee? The meeting that we had with the planning, you know, that meeting.
Did you want to cover? I mean,
I don't have much
We had a meeting with the county. Yeah. And it was a hazardous mitigation. So it, it's been supposed to be done every few years. So we had, it was done in 15, I guess it's every 4 years. So we had a woman come from the company that's doing this for the county, and she went over what we've been doing all along since 2015, what we're doing that's new. But mostly she asked for a wish list of everything that we could have help with. And when I say help, I mean actually funding for different scenarios. And we came up with quite a few. Everything from, what, Mike?
Fire alarms.
Yeah, fire alarm safety equipment.
Extra vehicles for the barrel.
Things that we may need to block roads should there be an accident,
right,
up 571 and rerouting cars. Because
we told her what happened.
A lot of people don't know how to get, if 571 is closed, they don't know how to get around it and get to where they're going. And it creates a lot of chaos in the back roads of Roosevelt. You know, people are trying to go through the sewer treatment plant. Blowing the horn at the sewer treatment plant, trying to get through.
Yeah.
They're not going to get through.
Well, they also, they're tearing down the side streets thinking they can circumvent the detour at 60 miles an hour. And we have everyone's in the streets here.
County OEM or county engineers?
It goes through the county Office of Emergency Management. And what they're looking for, they needed to update our capabilities as far as emergency management. And as part of a county kind of coordinated system.
Coordinate from the county.
Yeah. And also, if we put things that we need in our plan and it's documented, she said we're more likely to get grants when they become available because they're part of a plan, you know, our wish list. And so we came up with a pretty extensive wish list, and she's putting it in her plan.
They also divided. It was nice how they did it, because they divided it between sort of mitigation of, I guess, natural disasters, but then human mitigation. So anything that would affect us personally that we might need help with. So she was very open to everything.
Mortgage. My mortgage.
You still have a mortgage? So she was very open to...
His mortgage, too.
She was very open to all of our suggestions, and she's going to draw up our new plan. So hopefully we will see some of that funding eventually.
What's her name?
Her name was Brittany Ashland or Ashman? Ash something? Have it at home. Brittany. She works for a company that the county contracts out to. Ashman or Ash something like that. I can let you know by the next, by tomorrow. Come to the public comment, agenda items only. Open public comment at 7:17. Anyone like to say anything from the public on agenda items? Mary?
Want to tap that microphone?
Yep.
That's good.
And
you're
locked out.
Mary Tellis, 21 Lake Drive. I was just wondering, what are the proposed improvements to School Lane that are going to
I believe repaving.
If there's any street in Roosevelt that doesn't look like it needs paving, it's School Lane. I mean, it looks fine. It looks really perfect. So I'm just puzzled.
Well, apparently there's problems with some of the water mains under there too. And this was the borough engineer's recommendation at School Lane. And she had a map of was it three different areas?
Three different. It was Farm.
The entire length of School Lane, improvements to Pine Drive between Tamara and North Rochdale, and improvements to Tamara between Pine to South Rochdale.
Right. So, and I guess the work that was going to be done on Homestead, that's not taking place, right?
Yes.
That's separate. That's
these
a separate.
Are future.
This is
right.
Future.
In other words, our next street to be done is Farm Lane, and in 2019, and then for 2020, Art Carmella is recommending School Lane.
Well, I mean, does there need to be another project on School Lane? I guess if you think there. there's something that needs to be done with the water mains. Can you do that without a repaving?
You've got to get them up.
Yeah, get them up the street. Yeah. Also, Mary.
How do we know that work needs to be done on the water mains under there? Has there already been a camera looking?
Well, you can't look at the water mains with cameras, but I know there's a gas main there. That's about 6 inches down.
Below
the asphalt, and it's right near the entrance to the school there. So to me, that's almost like a dangerous situation. Also.
And there was a sinkhole over there near the trash compactor, near the trash. There was a problem over there.
A parking lot?
Well, but it was just off the road, but I think it's caused by a storm drain collapsing underneath there. But we were following the recommendation of the borough engineer, which knows more about it than I do, certainly. We can ask these questions.
Yeah, well, I was just kind of wondering, because in walking around town, it sure looked like...
Mary, we get grants for this stuff.
Well, yes, but not 100%.
There's a cost share.
Well, listen, but if we have to do it 100%, we may not do it at all.
Oh, sure. So we strike when the
Yeah. Otherwise, we're going to have a hell of a time.
Oh, I agree.
Okay.
And Farm is the next one up after Homestead, and
right.
Farm really,
and NERCO
really
too.
Needs it.
That's right.
Yeah.
We have NERCO
but there's no water or anything there. It's just the paving.
Yeah, it's just the paving.
Yeah, we haven't. This was a grant application.
For 2020 road
right.
program.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, one thing I'm kind of wondering about is on School Lane, I noticed on park, not the school side, the other park, there aren't any curbs there,
yeah.
Which is actually a good thing. I mean, I've been to some Environmental Commission workshops and meetings, and they make a point that it's better to have the water soak into the ground rather than being funneled into down the curb and heading right into the storm drain.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that curbs are not part of what would be done there. Just last week when I was driving down Lake Drive, the garbage truck had just been there, and also it just rained, and I could see a plop of oil in front of every house where the garbage truck stopped. And I think people said, oh, well, garbage trucks are always leaking. I guess, well, anyway, I'm not sure of that. But that's just a part of what, gets washed down into the stormwater when you have curbs that funnel the water down there. And so I double-checked my memory. I went to look for best practices for stormwater management, and on the EPA website, it definitely says that curbs and gutters collect and transport runoff quickly to the storm drain without allowing for infiltration or pollution. I hope we will make a consideration of best practices and not just decide to go ahead and, put curbs in there just because that is a traditional thing.
What happens during a pretty good-sized storm where you have 3 or 4 inches of rain, torrential downpour, if you don't have a good curbing system?
Well, in fact, I was thinking to myself, I want to go and look at a couple of our streets. We seem to be getting a lot of rain. So, I mean, it wouldn't be being funneled. It would be, some of it going into lawns, some of it going onto the street, but even on the certainly going to be on the street, but is it going to be quickly funneled right down into the storm drain? It's going to be,
Mary,
but it also helps.
Mary, you run the chance of flooding the front lawns.
What's that?
You run the chance of, if it's big, if it's bad enough, and the pitch is right, you run the chance of getting water flooding into around the houses.
But also
and
pulling
that's not
in the soil, pulling soil off the lawns when you're on a larger grade, it's going to erode the soil off of that, pulling that all into the storm drain as well.
Yeah, I think this needs to be looked at.
I think somebody should look into it.
Yeah.
Actually, if you're going to do it from scratch, they suggest you put in like a swale. So you don't put a curb in next between the road and the property. You have kind of an area that's down low, you have a lot of plants, like we have done at the school. You have an area where the water will go and collect and not be on the road, not be on somebody's property. So if we really wanted to,
again, if you haven't been, if you haven't
environmentally been, ace,
you had a
I
storm like you had a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't see where you were driving.
Yeah, I was out of that.
So was I. That's why I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's going to be of help.
Well, there are certain circumstances where it probably wouldn't be.
Well,
in general,
there's advantages and disadvantages to curbs and no curbs.
You know,
and
we have an engineer
but
who has a very good reputation.
Well, I'm
and
saying
we can discuss this.
Since it's an EPA best practice, I would hope that the council would be on the lookout.
Okay.
Yeah,
we can definitely discuss that with her.
Can you forward me a link
with
that information?
Yeah, I'll give it to you right here. It's that the URL is on the top.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Mary.
Yeah. Okay.
I would think that on the school side of School Lane there should be sidewalk with curb.
There already, side of the street.
That's already there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where the sidewalk is.
And
but the other side of School Lane, not where the school
Judith Dane. Yeah. And another thing, we've been noticing around town that there's a real problem with drainage in general in this town.
Yes.
I realize I built it on a swamp, and that's really not an excuse. I grew up on a farm. And
farmland.
Okay, farmland, wet farmland. But I grew up on 8 acres, and in order to put a couple acres of corn in, we had to put a ditch in to drain the water out of the fields to the creek.
Right.
We're seeing now that there have been some drainage pipes put in. But are they effective? Are they still working? I mean, the whole thing in North Valley there, it's not really, should not be our responsibility, but we did something about it. But in general, even when I was on the Environmental Committee under Tim Hartley's house, across from Lou's house, that's a mess. That drainage there is a mess. So there are different spots around town. I don't know.
No, it's not.
I don't know, yeah.
Since I told you when they opened up before they paved the last time, they put in a plastic culvert.
They had to
pick
the road up to do that.
Since then, we had no problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Can the Environmental Commission look into this and advise the council on how to proceed with it? I think it might be helpful to have even more information on this.
Yeah. Because we have to think about this at some point. Whether we just shut ourselves with responsibility or what? You know, so, yeah.
Well, this farm lane is, a school lane is on for 2020, so we do have time to discuss it and investigate.
So this is just
research
for Carmella to look into getting grants and whatnot. It's not a resolution or ordinance to put it through. So,
okay. Thanks,
Mary.
Thank you, Mary. Michael?
Yeah. Just follow.
Identify
yourself. Mike, 37 North Valley Road. Just following up to what Mary was saying, I was trying to ask, has the school been involved in any way with the work on School Lanes? It's a good portion of the, you know, of the length of school, you know, is on school property, but it's functional to the street. And so you know, to do part of the street, not to pay any attention to the rest of the street might not be.
But that would all be our responsibility.
No, not really.
I'm saying
to coordinate with the schools. It's the school's property. The school has to do the maintenance, but this should be whatever the engineer is recommending to be taken into account.
School
the situation a little further south, which is on school property.
I think she's considering the entire length.
Yeah, whatever it is, to coordinate with the school
the road.
Right.
Coordinate with the school board so that it's done, the thing is done in a way that makes sense.
We can definitely recommend
that.
Yeah, both curbs are indicated in here. Curb ramps will be reconstructed to meet current ADA standards and New Jersey Department of Transportation bicycle safe standards for the
That's American Disability Standard.
Yeah, ADA.
So that's safety for that.
But I think it's an excellent idea to coordinate it with the school and the school board and to get their input because they have a better feel for traffic conditions, pedestrian safety, all of those issues. Good. Thanks.
And the EPA is what Mary's talking about here.
Yeah, well, that's to curb or not to curb.
But drainage... Drainage is a big issue, as Joe was saying, and pervious and impervious surfaces do matter. I mean, if the more you add impervious surfaces, the more runoff you're going to have, and the more problems you're going to have down the line.
Exactly.
The soil does have to have a chance to absorb the water.
It's got to absorb, right, yeah.
And we a lot of towns have a lot of really severe problems with runoff and flooding. We have probably fewer problems than a lot of towns do, mainly because I think we do have a good... We do have good soil that's pervious. I guess that's the word pervious.
To a certain point. It's topsoil in its clay.
Right.
And it stops and it backs up then. You know,
so yeah. But I think it's a good idea to keep that in mind with just about every project, including paving, borough hall, parking lot. Yeah,
back here.
You got to make sure that that you take care of that.
Steve and I are thinking about talking to the Assentank people about, because some of the Assentank is starting to back up into people's backyards.
From all the rain?
Yeah, you have to see the pictures of Dave Tyson's truck.
Definitely saw them.
Four-wheeler to the
saw
axles.
Them.
Right?
Yeah.
By the way, one of the big problems that we do have is our storm drains, because we have a lot of trees. In front of my house, the storm drain gets covered by leaves.
I actually asked Anna to have Public Works start working on that immediately.
That should be on the punch list for
on
a regular basis, especially this summer.
No, I think on Wednesday or Thursday, I asked Anna to get to talk to Public Works and make that a priority, because every storm drain is
clogged. Be shoveled over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, Mike, I think last year or the year before, you had Hightstown, somebody come in and jet back the storm drains. So that should be a yearly process also. Did the county do that?
Yeah, that was the county.
Yeah.
Shared services.
Part of the shared
Because they get clogged up, even in front of Chad's house.
Well, with the sinkhole in front of my house at the storm drain. I happened to notice the one right here, like diagonal out the back, that it's sinking down in the same spots that mine is.
That's because it's blocked under Borough Hall here.
They're tied in.
And it can't get to the storm drain on Rochdale Avenue.
That's eroding.
So, yeah, it's all going to become
a... That's one of our projects that we're looking at addressing, is that storm drain outlet that goes under Borough Hall.
Yeah.
Make sure it drains properly out of the...
But for now, I think it would still be a good, somewhat preventative step to have them jet backed. Because I asked Public Works to start, but, you know...
Well, they can't jet back.
No, they can just manually...
Get rid of the leaves.
Yeah.
But I have to say this. It's the town is at the point that it's worried about how much water from rain and comes into the town. I think we're in a good spot now, but, you know, we're worried about stuff like that. I mean, this sinkholes and eroding, and that's been going on for years. We're just really looking at it. We're addressing it, thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good thing.
Listen, that's the philosophy we have in this town. Don't do anything. Just
kick it down
ahead.
The street.
Ignore it.
Well,
nobody wanted to do a damn thing in this town for years and years. And that's why we're paying for it now. It's a shame.
Steve, anything?
Come on. Come up, say your name, address.
No aliases.
Steve Bacher, 17 Farm Lane. With the bioswales and that kind of thing, DEP likes to kind of go and play at everything. Yeah.
Bioswale?
Yeah, that's what.
Oh, Mary was talking
Mary
about.
Was
okay.
Talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And with all these things, maintenance is always an issue.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't maintain, they clog up and they just don't work. You know, I've seen an awful lot of very fancy, filter type structures that get put in, never get maintained. You're supposed to, take out all the float holes, things like that. So, you know, if you're going to do things like that, you really have to look at a maintenance program. And your storm sewer system is probably in horrendous shape right now.
This past year or so, I think, is the first time we really looked at the storm sewer system and started doing the jetback and stuff like that. And now I'm starting to understand the difference between a storm drain and a culvert and a swale, whatever. Yeah.
Well,
so
you come from You come from New York, that's why.
No, I come from shovels of wheat.
So just keep that in mind.
Just keep that in mind. And from what I've seen in soil conditions in town, as Joe said, it's very silty, clay type soil. The soils are only going to work to a point that time. So there's a...
They will run quickly.
Yeah, just run off.
Yeah.
Because it can't soak into the ground fast enough.
The perk, is that what they call the perk factor or something like that? The perk factor around here has got to be little or nothing, I mean,
And at least from what I've seen, the soils in my yard are pretty impervious.
Yeah.
So it soaks down in your yard.
Yeah, well, it doesn't, it just sits.
Oh, it sits, so that's,
So, I mentioned earlier, I don't know if you're going to talk about that other issue, or is it earlier? Farm life?
Yeah. We're still in the process of the, Carmela's going to give us real estimates on that. I mean, she gave us rough estimates at this point,
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and that will be public discussion when we come down to it. So, water pipes or
Who's got the majority? Homestead, farm.
Fine.
Okay. Close the public portion at 7:37. Come to approval of minutes. Do I have a motion? Approve the minutes for the June 10th, 2019 regular council meeting?
Yes.
Second?
Second.
Roll call.
Was that Chad?
It was.
Okay. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicola?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vrooman?
Yes.
Correspondence, we have a letter from Roberts Engineering dated June 20th, 2019 regarding improvements to Farm Lane. Is that in the packet, that letter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sure.
That was what Steve was bringing up also.
Yeah. That letter said that the money will be there for a couple more years. Don't wait that long.
No.
I lived there.
All right, we come to resolutions. Resolution 19-81, payment of bills.
I'd like to make a motion to pay the bills.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Essico?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vrooman?
Yes.
Okay, 1981 passes. Resolution 19-82, a resolution authorizing the borough engineer to make a grant application to the New Jersey Department of Transportation for improvements to the entire length of School Lane. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Yes.
Move seconded. Discussion? I think we just discussed it.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Essico?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vrooman?
Yes.
All right, resolution 19-83, accepting a contract for website and email hosting to City Connections, LLC.
These are our current website people?
Yes.
Correct.
What is email hosting?
That's where your email resides, actually.
You're Lou Esikoff at Roosevelt.us.
How do you know?
It's Roosevelt.nj.us.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Did I get a motion?
No.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? It's where our email resides.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Essico?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vrooman?
Yes.
I just wanted to add about 1982, the grant application for School Lane. I am going to talk to Carmela Roberts about curbs and swales and drainage and the swale conditions there, and look at making that part of it. Again, it's just we're just applying for money for it, so we have some time to work on it, which is great. And if we can incorporate some of these recommendations from the best practices, I think we'll be glad to do that.
Okay. come to reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Bowen, Public Works.
Well, the main thing I wanted to bring up was Dave Teich.
Did everyone see his the photographs of his yard?
Well, and Joe and I have been down there a couple months ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's on Tamara. Tamara Drive.
Yeah, what's he, like 18 or something? Or?
He's right across from where Elm meets Tamara, right there.
He's on the Rochdale side of where Elm meets Tamara.
On the Rochdale side? They're both the Rochdale side.
Next to Dave with the totem pole?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's going back the other way.
Probably a Roosevelt.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but we walked it with boots.
Nothing strikes me anymore. Yeah.
I know.
Right.
Next time he comes to town,
Dave with the totem pole. I got it. Okay.
Dave with the totem pole.
You can't miss it.
That's quaint.
I'm looking for it now.
It's what makes us
looking for it immediately.
It's what makes us
I love this place.
I mean, it's not little.
I'm very here, so.
He doesn't have a totem pole.
In his front yard.
Can you get in the cemetery?
That's what.
There's ways to.
Yeah? If you know some people.
But a 20-footer, too.
Oh, wow. Oh, it's quite. Well, and also, do you see the trash can out there? That's the color of the house that the totem pole's in front of.
Well, all the CDs on the front.
It's not terrible. I've seen worse.
The area that's a problem at Dave Teich's house is to, as you face his house, to the right of the driveway. Not in the driveway, right?
It's directly in back of his house.
He has a shed out back. Behind,
it's
right.
It's behind his house.
Shed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The shed is up on
stilts. It's his backyard.
It's like Union Beach. You got to put sheds on stilts right there now.
Well, yeah. What, 14-foot stilts?
That's my daughter's house. That's 14-foot.
Yeah, I believe that. 14. Well, so what is this? What is this issue?
So when Joe and I went back,
is it the acid thing?
Oh, no. It's the acid thing. That's what I was asking Mike about.
Well,
the creek's coming through.
Not the creek. The swamp.
All right.
Let me just explain what I think. And I may be totally wrong, but this is what I think. It looks like a combination of issues, right? Because there's a storm drain flow, or there's a storm runoff flow
from Elm.
From Elm, there's a storm drain there,
right.
and all that water goes into the woods, okay?
Yeah.
Now, it looks like there was, like, swales, or culverts, or there was a way to manage all that runoff at one time.
It ran into a creek at one time.
And it ran into a creek.
Right.
So it was never maintained, right? So now there's trees falling down in there, and then it looks like they also put a road in at one time to install sewer lines.
Back when they put the sewer line in 1990 or 91, when they cut through the woods there to get to the sewer plant with the new PVC sewer pipes, they put a road in there. But
Steve,
they also
never maintained by the acid thing to
me? No,
that
was
also
property.
Yeah.
Because Joe and I looked at the map.
Did you look
for
that?
For
Brown.
No, don't say that.
Well, they also put a pipe in there, water pipe to cut over from the woods into Brown Street, Brown Lane, whatever that
right,
is.
Right, so there was additional work that went on, putting in pipes and whatnot, creating berms and whatnot. So all of these factors contribute to the problem. Plus, you know, then there's swampy areas from, I guess it would be the acid thing, but when we look at the map, it looks like Roosevelt's property, you know, goes a ways back into the woods. It's not like as soon as you're in the woods, you're in the acid thing, from what I can see on the map. Right?
Yep.
So I guess my question is, you know, in order to, so the water's backing up, and it looks like it could be fixed.
Yeah.
You know, even with Joe and I and shovels.
No, I can't do it.
Nothing we're going to do. You start to get ideas of where you can start digging to maybe help out this situation.
Exactly.
He's got a pickup truck that's totally buried in mud.
It's a four-wheel drive truck all the way down to the shaft, the drive shaft.
Yeah.
So we have to the axles.
It's collapsed, you mean?
No,
so
it's dug itself in. It can't drive out.
Besides just going back there and looking at it again, with us having really no understanding of what can be done, is whether or not we can get somebody from Carmella's office, have them come out, and take a look at the situation.
Definitely.
Whether or not some of these trees can be cut that are blocking these little culverts and stuff, and somehow get it flowing correctly back there. Because the way it is now, with all these berms that were created when these pipes were put in, it's a mess. And it's really
it's like
making
it's
a real problem.
It's like a toxic mess. I mean, it's just stagnant mud.
We'll get that in the canal, take a look at that, and also your drainage problem over in your house, too.
His hole.
Your hole.
Yeah, just
you know.
It's not like this, it just goes down.
I look down there.
You know, right next to where they had this shed, right next to it, there's a big storm drain, right?
Well, it's a culvert.
You should dig.
It's a culvert.
It's a pipe under, and there must have been a road going back
there.
And
that's
that pipe.
Never know, man.
You know, so that's contributing.
It's personal animals.
Yeah.
So what do we need to do? We need to call...
I'll give him a call, because I have some questions about the swales and drainage and all in the new the project that we're applying for. And I'll ask them...
For a second.
No, but they have people.
Oh, no, just because I
really
wrote to her and didn't hear back.
You know, one of the big problems that we have with all of this is that we really abandoned Empty Box Creek. Yeah. We just let it go to hell in a handbasket.
Well, the DEP would not allow us.
I know. I understand.
Well, you know.
But they also didn't understand the consequence of what they were doing. You know,
that's
the
over
beautiful a, trees that died on the closed road.
Between farm and lake over there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful
That was
way
pristine.
To
yeah, it was a
it
pristine.
It looked like it... To me,
paradise.
It was beautiful. One time, when I walked, when they all died, it looked like
Planet of the
Mount
Apes.
Helena.
Yeah,
I was at Mount Helena. It was after the explosion, and this looked exactly like
that. No, it was
like
very
that.
Sad.
Yeah. Dead
really
trees.
Sad. What
this
happened?
Yeah. Broken down. It was horrible.
Well, that's what's going to happen everywhere where there's a creek. There is some maintained. All of the swamp is going to rise, the trees are going to fall over, and when there's no holding the roots down anymore.
It looked like paradise.
Were there beavers out there?
No, I think
beavers are a couple of miles away.
No, there were beavers right there, but that they were able to take care of. Like they somehow or other, they were able to eradicate the beaver problem.
Well, what you usually do is like do environmental cleanups, so you pick up all the garbage all on the edges.
Is it
you got a few guys with chainsaws and stuff come through and get the stuff out of the waterway. Yeah. But if you call the DEP and say, can we take all this stuff out of the water? They're never in a million years going to let you do that because you're not supposed to disturb
the vitamins
and stuff.
You're not supposed to touch it.
There are state guidelines for clearing creeks. And
okay.
I have a letter myself. I do my creek. I used to do it all the time. But if you do it to the state guidelines, you don't really need chainsaws. You can just move things out of the creek. It's okay. They allow that. They actually do allow that.
It's really sad because it looked like a piece of heaven, and now it looks like Planet of the Apes. There's just everything's gone.
Yeah.
There's some like dead tree stumps.
So we're gonna have that all over town if we don't.
Well, that's not normal.
About this.
Something is drastically changing the landscape.
All of the silt came down from Millstone when they built the new houses off the stagecoach or whatever it is up there.
Yeah, it was
washed into the creek. The creek didn't flow anymore.
Well,
it
was also. People were throwing things in there. Unfortunately, there were cans and garbage and stuff in there.
Bodies.
Yeah. A couple of bodies. And trees fell across, you know, and they fell into, as you point out. And nobody never did
anything. Well, the trees literally toppled over, just uprooted.
And that was when we started having flooding.
Well, as far as, can we get back to Dave's house?
Yeah, in preparation for what Colorado's people come down. Are there any maps or anything for what was going on over there in terms of culverts and pipes?
All those maps are available, yeah.
Did the Corps of Engineers come in and do the back to the sewer plant there?
Not that I know of.
Just whatever engineering company that just put the roads in and just...
And I must say that Dave has a really good attitude. He's just waiting for us to help, but
he's been talking about this for over a year.
Yeah, but I mean, he's
Dave Tesh.
He's being very nice about it.
So he's been getting the flooding for over a year as well, or was that just like a recent thing?
I started walking back there with him about a year ago. Fall last year, I walked with him, and then spring this year before the leaves came out.
Yeah,
because
I saw you two in front of his house.
Yeah, yeah.
You and Steve.
We were.
It's a lot easier to see what's going on when there's no
No leaves.
No leaves and erosion. I mean, it might
you all,
be
you all have photographs of it on your email, on your borough email.
Yeah, but this is still this before
it's a situation that has to be remedied. It's not acceptable.
Well, throughout the whole town, like Joe was saying before, the storm runoff issue needs to be looked at all over. He's got a situation in his front yard.
Well, not mine. My neighbor's further down. Yeah.
Your neighbor?
So, Mike, can we?
Yeah.
I think it's time to meet with Carmella. Go over a list of.
Okay.
I have a notice in Jeff's front yard. There's a pond there once in a while. Like in Allentown's front yard, Jeff. Is like.
I think almost everyone has a pond in their front yard now.
Yeah. I have a big tree soaking all the water up.
Across the street from me, the farmhouse. You can't even go up their steps.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Just pools of water. Mueller's. Yeah, you have to walk up through the lawn. Yeah, but at the base of the hill where they would normally walk up the path to get to their front door, it's just nothing but a pool of water. Okay. So, anything else, Steve?
No, I
don't. Okay. Council Member Esikoff, administration.
We're still administering.
Okay, good.
And doing a hell of a job.
Okay. Hey, Council Member Germany's absent. Councilmember Hamilton, finance.
We're tired of financing.
Any money?
We're tired of financing, so we're going to take a little break and probably meet
just
next
give us
month.
All a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Money trees absorb a lot of water, right? So.
Yeah.
Okay, no report, Mike?
No.
Okay. Councilmember Trammell, utilities.
Not really in everything, but the. There's a new probe that went into the water plant because the old one was broken. So I'm just, and over at the sewer plant, Mike actually got the trickling filter to work. But he's going to look at it again tomorrow. We don't know if that's a quick down and dirty, good for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, a couple of years. So he's going to look into that a little further.
Okay.
So,
well, we're still going for new.
We don't know yet until we figure out is this really
going to...
Was the switch replaced at the water treatment plant, the emergency
let me think about
generator that. Switch? I think it
let
was.
Go back. I think it was. I'm not positive. I'm not sure whether it is in the works to get fixed, but there was... I explained this at the last meeting, I think. I wrote it in. Okay. What was happening is the original changeover switch from if the power goes out, it would change over to the generator. It's a three-phase situation over there, 110, 110, and 110. And the way the original switch was in, it was either only a one-phase switch or a two-phase switch. So if one of the phases went out that wasn't connected to the changeover, it wouldn't change over. We would just, the plant would go down. So we're looking at that. We're looking at putting a new switch in. We're getting estimates on that. That's what it is. So it'll be a three-phase switch. So if any one phase out of three goes out, the generator will come on and light the plant up. We looked at it. The generator people that are working now showed me the schematic. And in fact, when leg number one went down, phase number one went down, it did not turn the emergency generator on because it was not hooked up to anything in the changeover. So the suggestion, it was not supposed to,
yeah.
Right, but it shouldn't be wired that way. It should be wired that if we lose any electricity over there that the generator comes on and everything is fine. So we're looking at the different prices for that. I think we got a price of about $7,000 complete, which is a decent price, considering the mains coming in off the street is like 4-aught cable that's about an inch thick. And there's three of those coming in. They'll probably do 2,000 or 3,000 amps each. So that feeds directly into the changeover. The changeover comes from the generator, so it'll go from the mains to the generator. So whoever's going to do it's got to know what they're doing. And they have to shut the water plant down for like 4, 5, 6 hours in order to do that. And advise that there'd be no problem if that happened. We'd fill the tank up and just do the switch and move on. So, but We're finding little things. These aren't little things. These are odd things in this town. It's like, again, peeling the onion back, and we're trying to fix what has been a problem. And even the problems that didn't show up as problems, we're going to fix them anyway. Preventative maintenance is really what it comes down to.
You weren't here, Joe, and 100 years ago, remember Shingle and Hunt? People would come in, it was a hardware store. People would go into the hardware store with something from their house that needed to be replaced, and the guys at Shingle and Hunt would just look at it and say, oh, you live in Roosevelt, because it was never a standard size, a standard shape,
never.
They just take one look at it and say, you live in Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we're trying to come into the 21st century.
You know, there were these boxes of stuff, whatever they pick up in the one house, something else in another
house. Okay. Councilmember Roman?
Nothing to report beyond the segmentation meeting that we had on
last week.
Yeah.
I can't keep it straight.
Yeah.
That and your sinkhole as well.
Yes,
and everyone
else. Yeah.
Okay, reports of borough officials. Michael Tipton, environmental commission.
Environmental commission. Okay, the environmental commission will be having a table.
Oh, exactly what I was going to ask you. Okay, good.
Are
you going to give out milkweed again?
I'm sorry?
Will you give out milkweed again?
Yep.
Good.
Yes, Steve's going to have milkweed.
Good.
Steve's taking care of it.
Steve Taylor,
yes.
Yeah, I've seen monarch butterflies in, like, not a lot, but a couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, some is better than none.
That's
I haven't seen one in decades.
Oh, no, there were two in my yard.
I haven't seen
them
in my backyard.
Small. They look small for monarchs.
I put milkweed in the backyard.
Small monarchs.
They'll grow into big ones.
Then Mary is looking for more volunteers. If anyone wants to help with stream monitoring, this is one project that Mary has been doing a great job of keeping moving, keeping track of, so we see the invertebrates and the microvertebrates in the stream. We're trying to keep track of that. So we can give us information about the health of the stream.
Are you
doing
that?
Then, Mary, you might want to call Anna and ask her if she could put it on the website, looking for volunteers.
Are you doing that twice a year or once a year now, Mary?
Well, it was going to be once a year.
Okay.
In the spring.
Yeah.
However, I have so many projects going that I'm just now kind of ready to start. Also, one of our main volunteers is Jane Rothes, who's a high school biology teacher, so she's not usually available until this time of year.
Okay.
So, anyway, it's a work in progress. It's either going to be done in the next few weeks, or we'll have to wait until the fall, because I think it'll be too warm and
Yeah, we're also making progress with renewing the Sustainable Jersey. It comes up again next year. So we basically have this year. Kim Pilon is taking the lead on that. We're keeping track of all the credits and trying to build up our things that we can document to show that we're eligible.
They're the people that help build the trail bridges and stuff.
Well, that was something else.
Okay.
Yeah, the Sustainable Jersey is something that we get credit for various activities, but many of which we do anyway, when we document that we're doing them, and then we can be eligible for grants that are funded by public service. Okay. One thought about the whole drainage problem. We did a few years ago when we get DEP to eliminate this beaver dam, which we probably got from the ground.
But that was up by the Assateague.
Yes, in the Assateague, right.
There, yeah,
but that's.
Yeah.
But my point is that is ultimately that's what the problem is.
Yeah.
When you have whatever the blockages are or the Assateague property, because the way the town is designed, everything drains out.
Yep.
And it should drain properly, but if you block, like any other drain, you block the drains, you don't get the drain. Your bathtub is blocked, you're not going to get the water going out.
Yeah.
Same principle.
Yeah.
So we have that. Exactly. You have to do the plunger. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And DEP is the one, it's just DEP's property, it's DEP's. The one that has to be willing to, use the plunger. I'm suggesting that the meetings that we have, we invite the DEP people to come in right as early as we can, because they're the ones who are going to have to come up with a solution.
First they should stop at Dave's house. take them on a tour of Dave's backyard.
Right, sure. Yeah. I mean, and the property, as you said, the property, as Steve was saying, the property next to Dave's house is land that does belong to the borough. There is that, like, 400 feet of frontage that's opposite on the court that's borough property right. going back. Basically, it would be four house lots if they had divided it up. Instead, they kept it as open land. But behind that, you know, where it all drains into is asset.
Yeah, something.
So we certainly have to make sure that the channels, such channels as exist on borough land, are clear. That we have our public works people should do that. But what's in the asset bank isn't their responsibility.
And what happens if you call them and tell them you have a problem on the asset bank? What do they do? They don't come anywhere.
They tell them
We'll get legislators to write to them, to contact them, to do whatever we can to bring pressures. You're the ones who hold the solutions to the problem. And it's an ongoing problem. It's
a huge problem.
It's a maintenance problem. Well, especially with the greater rainfall that we're getting. You know, climate change, we're getting more rainfall. That's part of the problem, too.
Yes.
So we have to deal with
it. I think it's a combination of town responsibility and
private. Of course, yeah. Right. So the part is on town property, yes, but most of it is in the asset.
But it's pervasive. It's starting to affect so many homeowners in town. It's affecting a lot of properties suddenly.
Okay, so
thanks, Mike.
Sorry, but one of the mics died. His mic died.
You know that sound now.
That was that sound.
That dead mic sound. Does anyone have any old business they'd like to discuss at the table?
What's that?
Any old business you'd like to discuss? New business? Okay, come to public comment at
8:01.
We open the floor for public comment. Does anyone have anything they'd like to say that they haven't already? Close public comment at 8:01.
Move to adjourn.
I believe that we would like to
have a session.
Just briefly, yes.
Yeah, briefly. Okay. I just have to get my resolution.
So in case you don't come back, I just wanted to say once again, please come on Thursday to the open house. Please come July 4th. And congratulations, Joe. Son's getting married next week.
My son. Yeah.
Very nice. When?
Friday. And he's having a party at my house on Thursday.
I was going to say, I thought it was Thursday.
So I'll be in and out of here for the build party.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to read a resolution 19-84, providing for a private executive meeting that excludes the public. Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act enacted October 21st, 1975 permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed, which are exempted from the requirement of the Act. And whereas the said Act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portion thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss a subject which is exempted under the said Act. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Borough Council as follows. That the next portion of this meeting to be held in private session. That the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matter litigation, Jeff Allentuck versus Borough Roosevelt and Kathleen Hart, docket number MONL2119PW. That no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter that has been taken. It is anticipated the discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required in this matter. So I need a motion.
Do we go to executive session?
Second?
Yes.
Lou? Okay. And Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Roman?
Yes.
Okay, so we got to turn off in time. 8:04. Okay, we are out of closed session at 8:43 p.m.
Motion to adjourn.
Lou made made a motion to adjourn. Second?
Second.
Second, Matt.
Chad, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, time out. 8:44. Thank you.
Everybody, turn your mic.